오늘의 말씀은 에베소서 1장 3절부터 14절입니다. 우리 다 함께 일어나셔서 한 절씩 교독하시겠습니다. 찬송하려다 하나님 곧 우리 주 예수 그리스도의 아버지께서 그리스도 안에서 하늘에 속한 모든 신령한 복으로 우리에게 복 주시되 창세전에 그리스도 안에서 우리를 택하여서 우리로 사랑하여서 그 앞에 거룩하고 흠없게 하시려고 그 기쁘신 뜻대로 우리를 예정하사 예수 그리스도로 말미암아 자기의 아들들이 되게 하셨으니 이는 그의 사랑하시는 자 안에서 우리에게 거저 주시는 바 그의 은혜의 영광을 청량하게 하려는 것이라. 우리가 그리스도 안에서 그의 은혜의 풍성함을 따라 그의 피로 말미암아 구속 곧 죄사함을 받았으니 이는 그가 모든 지혜와 총명으로 우리에게 넘치사 하사 그 뜻의 비밀을 우리에게 알리셨으니 곧 그 기쁘심을 따라 그리스도 안에서 때가 찬 경륜을 위하여 예정하신 것이니 하늘에 있는 것이나 땅에 있는 것이 다 그리스도 안에서 통일되게 하려 하십니다. 모든 일을 그 마음의 원대로 역사하시는 자의 뜻을 따라 우리가 예정을 입어 그 안에서 기업이 되었으니 그리스도 안에서 전부터 바라던 우리로 그 찬송이 되게 하려 하십니다. 그 안에서 너희도 진리의 말씀 곧 너희의 구원의 복음을 듣고 그 안에서 또한 믿어 약속의 성령으로 인치심을 받았으니 그의 기업을 보증되사 그 거두신 것을 구속하시고 그의 영광을 천미하게 하려 하십니다. 아멘. 감사합니다. 자리에 앉아주시기 바랍니다. 이제 스티브 목사님께서 나오셔서 말씀 전해주시겠습니다. 많은 은혜 받으시는 귀한 시간 되시기 바랍니다.
Good morning. I want to welcome you to Korean Disciples Church. It's a real privilege to be here with you today. I am Pastor Steve Klaus, the pastor assigned to this church for this time being. I want to ask you to join me in prayer for the message today. Gracious God, I pray that you would take this message. I pray that you would make it yours and not mine. I pray that you would reveal yourself, your will and your ways through this immense and awesome passage of Scripture so that we might understand all of the riches of the things that you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to tell you a secret. You have to lean in close. I love movies. I really love movies. I think I have been in love with movies for most of my life. Now, there was a period of my life where I did not attend movies in a theater at all. The high school and college that I attended employed a very strict lifestyle statement that each student had to sign. Signing this statement meant that we would not attend movies in a theater due to the potential for the corrosive influence that they were believed to be. I had signed a document that said that I would not attend movies, and so I did not. I later found out that I was one of the only students who actually abided by that lifestyle statement. Once I graduated from college, I began to explore the world of movies, and I fell head over heels in love. I like all kinds of movies, comedy, drama, adventures, fantasy. There really is no genre that I don't care for completely. Some of my favorite kinds of movies are those where one of the leading characters stands and makes a speech that rallies people around him to his cause or convinces them to keep marching forward. Henry V, which was based on the Shakespearean play of the same name, is that kind of a movie. The English, under Henry's leadership, are engaged in a struggle to recapture their hereditary claims in France, and they are met by an overwhelmingly larger force at a small town of Agincourt. King Henry, knowing that his troops are tired and ill and demoralized, rises from the saddle of his horse, just prior to the battle and makes an impassioned speech that rouses his men to a patriotic fervor. The speech is so effective that it has gone down in dramatic history as the speech of St. Crispin's Day. I really adore this scene and the romantic cause that it portrays. History and the movies are also filled with another type of speech, the eulogy. A eulogy is a speech in praise of a particular thing or person. Now, as residents of the 21st century, we tend to associate these kinds of speeches with funerals. But in ancient times, a eulogy was a more typical part of everyday life. People came to places such as the Athenian Agora in ancient Greece to hear speeches and new ideas on a regular basis. Those were the movies of ancient days of the Apostle Paul. The Epistle to the Ephesians contains just such a speech, a eulogy in praise of Jesus Christ that can be found in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14, which we just read. I believe it is important for us to study this passage as it is one of the most profound and complete statements of faith in all of the New Testament. Much of what we understand about the nature of our salvation comes from this passage. I want to encourage you to take your Bibles with me and turn to the first chapter of Ephesians as we begin our study in the Word. Now, there are a few things that form the background of this passage which will be helpful for us to understand and inform the intent of the Apostle Paul as he writes to his audience. One important thing for us to understand is a clue found towards the end of verse 3. The Apostle writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." I want to turn your attention towards the phrase, "in the heavenly realms." This is a strange thing to say to believers, but it would have had great significance for a first century Greek audience. As I shared with you last week, Ephesus was the center of worship for the cult of Artemis. Artemis was considered to be the most powerful goddess in the pantheon of the day. She was said to rule the underworld, raining judgment from the underworld to the heavens above to those who had displeased her. In addition to Artemis, the Greco-Roman world of the time was filled with mystery religions and saturated in a deep belief in astrological signs. We are not used to, this is not in the text, we are not used to studying the heavens the way ancient people did. They studied the stars to determine when it was time to plant, when the seasons would change. The celestial bodies moved around and they knew when new things were happening. And sometimes terrible things would be foretold by the movement of planets and stars in the sky, or at least astrologers believed that. The audience of the Apostle Paul that he writes to here are particularly Greek Gentiles who have been steeped in these kinds of pagan religious practices. And Paul writes to assure the believers in Ephesus that God rules all of the heavenly realms, or the spirit realm, and that his reign over these realms is where all true blessings come from. The apostle is establishing the authority of God in Jesus Christ as a means of reorienting these recent converts to Christianity. Cosmic powers and God's rule and reign over them is a theme that will emerge multiple times in this epistle. A second thing that it is important to note from this passage is the type of genre of literature that it represents. As I shared earlier, Paul begins his letter with a eulogy or a speech in praise of the person and work of the Trinity, although Jesus Christ is the primary focus of the speech. It is difficult for us to see it as a modern audience, since we are reading a translation from the original language, and also one that has verse markings added to the Bible. But the material of verses 3 through 14 are one really long sentence. Just one sentence. This is not just a typical speech or a compulsory word of praise about Jesus. It is a masterpiece of Greek prose that is actually based on a Jewish liturgical form known as the Barakah. Now, a Barakah is a long ode of praise to God, giving God glory for his person, his mighty acts, and his goodness. Many of the Psalms function as Barakah, and they would have been read or chanted or sung together on important occasions. The Barakah was the poetic language of the temple in Jerusalem, and also of the synagogue abroad. By focusing the subject of this particular eulogy on Jesus Christ, Paul is accomplishing two things at once. First, he is instituting a new form of worship into the life of the church. And second, Paul is planting a seed that reminds these Ephesians that they are the spiritual descendants of Israel, the original people who were set apart for God. Jewish forms of worship and literature form an important foundation for all of the theology of the book of Ephesians. There are also many themes that permeate this passage of Scripture. One theme evident is the work of Christ in salvation. A second theme that is interwoven throughout Ephesians 3 through 14 is the theme of adoption. According to Paul, the belief in and the acceptance of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord qualifies these Greco-Roman Gentiles for adoption into the people and family of God. Paul speaks about this in verse 5, where he states, "In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ." Paul also alludes to this concept of adoption in verse 4 and verse 11, where the apostle states that the Ephesians have been chosen. This concept of adoption comes from a unique portion of Roman law, which says that a childless patriarch of the household of a Roman citizen may elect to adopt slaves or other non-biological members of their household. Those chosen for adoption under this law are then entitled to citizenship, an inheritance, and all of the rights and privileges of a legal son or daughter. Again, this is not in the text, but if you've ever seen the movie Ben-Hur, that happens to the main character. Judah Ben-Hur saves the admiral of a Roman galley from drowning, and he adopts him as his son and gives him all of his privileges. Those chosen for adoption were given citizenship. This rich concept is what Paul attempts to share with those he writes to as believers from Ephesus, where once they may have been outsiders, slaves to sin and to death, now they have become as sons of God, and they are endowed with every good thing that comes from the sonship of God in Jesus Christ. Scholars have pondered over this passage of Scripture for hundreds of years, searching for ways to analyze and explain its unique outline. Some who have studied this passage believe that it is a quote from an early Christian hymn. They believe if the elements of the language are arranged just so, we can see the outline of a hymn. Other biblical scholars believe that this passage is a particular kind of liturgy which was well known to the believers in Ephesus. There is no true consensus on how this passage was understood or used in worship in the Christian churches of Paul's time or the years immediately following his death. But as an aspiring biblical scholar myself, I decided to analyze the passage after my own fashion. While I don't possess the ability to do high-level analysis of the original Greek, I do think that we can see an important pattern emerging by focusing on the verbs and prepositional phrases that accompany them. Here is how I see this passage. According to Paul, God has blessed us in Christ. He has chosen us in His sight. He has predestined us through Jesus Christ. He has redeemed us in Him. He has forgiven us of sins in Him. He has made known to us the mysteries of the universe in Christ. He has chosen us again in Christ. He has included us in the family in Christ, and He has marked us with a seal in Him. All of these passages occur between verses 3 and verses 13. If we study the passage in view of the verbs, what begins to unfold is a picture of the awesome work of salvation. As believers, we have been blessed, we have been chosen, we have been predestined, we have been redeemed, we have been forgiven, we have been granted wisdom, we have been included, and we have been marked. And all of these actions describe the what that we have received through belief in Jesus Christ. Also, if we study the supporting prepositional phrases in this eulogy, we can see that all of the action verbs are inseparably linked to Christ as they happen in Christ. Those who believe this passage to be a quote from an early Christian hymn have seen these prepositional phrases as a refrain or a chorus. The prepositional phrase in Christ describes the who or the responsible party of the work of salvation. And finally, when we consider the verbs that explain the what of salvation or the prepositional phrases, which undercover the agent who brings salvation, the key to salvation is found in verse 7. Salvation comes through the blood of Jesus. Christ offers Himself as the ultimate sacrifice for us, ransoming us back from evil. The blood of Jesus is the how that salvation is accomplished. The final thing I want us to consider in this great passage of Scripture are the blessings that we have received in Christ. Verse 3 begins the passage by sharing that the Ephesians all share in a spiritual blessing. There are two things to meditate on related to the blessings that Paul alludes to in this passage. First, these blessings are beyond time and they are for all time. The tense of the verbs used in the Greeks changes as these blessings of salvation are spelled out. We learn in verse 4 that our blessings are predestined or come from decisions God made about salvation before time ever began. In verse 3 and verse 7, a past tense is used to describe how we were blessed in the past through spiritual blessings and Christ's sacrificial death. Verse 13 and 14 speak of blessings that exist in the present time as the believers are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And finally, God's blessings are also in the future as we wait an inheritance that is guaranteed. For me, these blessings echo the words of John Wesley, who said, "I have been saved, I am saved, I am being saved, I will be saved." These blessings of salvation were ordered before time began and can be experienced by us in the past and the present and the future. This is especially good news for the people of Ephesus who lived under the suspicion and the oppression of Roman occupation. Finally, as Paul shares about the blessings of our salvation, he also shares about the many benefits of those blessings that we experience. As believers in Christ, we have been predestined, chosen, adopted, ransomed, forgiven, included, and sealed, but there is so much more to celebrate. Paul shares in verse 9 that the Ephesians have been endowed with wisdom and understanding so that they have discovered the mystery of the will of God. This would have been incredibly enticing to the Ephesians, who were surrounded by mediums and spiritual guides who claimed to be able to read the signs in the heavens and understand deep spiritual mysteries that were hidden from most humans. Paul is telling both the Ephesians and us that by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, we gain access to the understanding of God's will. We are able to decipher God's will through the guidance of the Holy Spirit who sealed us. What Paul means in verse 14 when he says that the Holy Spirit is a deposit is that the presence of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives is a blessing that allows us to understand the will and ways of God, which are hidden from those who are not in Christ and do not possess the Spirit. Now, we have just completed a pretty high level of analysis of a very dense and rich passage of Scripture. But I would not be surprised if you felt as though this exercise was a little dry. After all, the Bible speaks to us in many ways, but parsing every word and every phrase in a passage can tend to rob it of its inspirational power. So what should our response be to such an incredible passage of Scripture? Well, first of all, I think that our response as individual believers should be encouragement. This passage was probably intended to be read in worship, just like the Berakah would have been read on high holy days in Jewish worship. It is a way of remembering or memorializing all that God has done for us in Christ. I think that we need to actually do that as a congregation right now. I want us to read in English these statements together, which are all taken from Ephesians 1. You say them in Korean, say them English, however you are led, but I will lead us. I have been, say it with me, I have been lavishly blessed in Christ. I have been chosen before the creation of the world in Christ. I was predestined for adoption in Christ. I have been redeemed in Christ. I have forgiveness of sins in Christ. I have had the mystery of God made known to me in Christ. I was chosen as a part of God's plan in Christ. I have been included in the family in Christ. I have been marked with a seal in Christ, to the praise of His glorious grace. I am acutely aware of the fact that living in our times is difficult. There is much violence, selfishness, destruction, and uncertainty in our times. And many of you live through seasons of great stress, leaving your homes and your families and your homeland and your jobs to come here to this far-off country where it rains all the time. My hope for you is that you read and meditate on this passage and remember that many great blessings that God has blessed us with in the heavenly realms. I encourage you to take these words we have said to God and to each other and repeat them to yourselves in the coming days and weeks. Use them as a touchstone to remind you of all that God has done for you. And as you do this, remember also that the blessings of God are truly beyond time. God chose to bless you before time began, in the past as well as the present, and many more blessings await you in the future. I also believe that we need to respond to this passage as a congregation. Now, the appropriate response to this eulogy, which commemorates all that God has done for us in salvation, is celebration. We gather each week to sing and to pray and to meditate on the scriptures, and I hear your singing, and it is very beautiful, even when the words sound strange to my ears. I will not say that something is missing from our praise, but I wonder if we are truly aware of all that God has done for us as we worship. We are so blessed that this feeble building should not be able to contain the raucous fervor of the celebration that we share each week. We have been predestined, chosen, adopted, redeemed, forgiven, made wise, included and sealed as a token of the blessings we share now and in the world yet to come. Today and all of the days to come, let us truly celebrate as we sing our closing song, knowing that we are beloved in Jesus Christ. And I would ask the worship team to come and join us once again and lead us once again.
Thank you. 무엇봐도 주님을 바꾸지 않으리. 다른 어떤 눈을 구하지 않으리. 오직 주님만이 내 삶에 도움이시니 주의 얼굴 보기 원합니다.
주님 사랑합니다.
주님 사랑해요. 온 마음과 정성 다해 하나님의 지시라 친구되기 원합니다. 하나님의 신실한 친구 되기 원합니다.
And now may Christ dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen.